mercy, and peace be to you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. The song, I Only Have Eyes for You, was composed in 1934 by Harry Warren and Al Dubin. It's been recorded by numerous musicians, including Peggy Lee, Frank Sinatra, and Art Garfunkel. Two of those names I actually know. Rolling Stone ranks the Flamingos' version of the song 157 in their list of the 500 greatest songs of all times. I Only Have Eyes for You. The Lord has his own version of this golden oldie, where he says, you are valuable in my eyes. The you in the text is singular, not plural. It's you, not you all, like you'd say in Texas. Singular you denotes a focus that is individual and intimate, particular and personal. The same specific concern for you comes in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1, where God says, I have called you by my name. You are mine. His care is cosmic and universal, to be sure, but to emphasize the value that God places on you, he employs 25 second person word forms in Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 through 7. Over and over again, it is you, 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 you are valuable in my eyes. Now, those who first received these words were far away from home. These Israelites were in Babylon, and Babylon said, well, you are nothing in my eyes. Babylon was distant, aloof, cold, and calculating. It called the Judean exile state slaves and prisoners, cogs in their vast and ever-growing political machine. So the question for today is this: where do I find my value? Now, to get at this, let me take you back to a childhood memory, probably a memory that you all have had in some way, shape, or form. But for us, our family would go to the Wisconsin Dells, and in that area was a little town called Baraboo, which housed the Circus World Museum. And the thing about this place, along with many county fairs or traveling circuses, was that it had a funhouse. And in the funhouse, there were those goofy, distorted mirrors. Some mirrors would make me look tall and skinny, others would make me look short and fat, and others would make me look ugly and creepy. None of them reflected who I really was. And you know, neither do the mirrors that surround us daily. Just turn on the TV, surf the net, go to the mall, pick up a magazine. You see perfect people with perfect families and perfect marriages, delighting in perfect jobs. And when these images seductively summon us, what do we see? Well, we see that we don't measure up. You name it, and we don't have it. Addicted to how the world sees us, we begin feeling tall and skinny, short and fat, ugly and creepy. If we look into these mirrors long enough, we begin to languish, lose heart, and ultimately to feel worthless. And when we feel worthless, we not only discount ourselves, but we begin discounting everyone else. You name them, we discount them. Spouse, child, colleague, parent, boss. When we feel like nothing, we treat other people like nothing. We sell each other off for cut-rate prices, slashing and burning our reputations. Obsessed with what we don't have, we get stuck in the game of gossip, the silent stares, and the jungle of judgment. Let me be as clear as possible. How you stack up in the eyes of others does not reflect your true value. Your value comes from the Lord. And he says, you, singular, are valuable in my eyes. Specific, reserved, and exact. It is you, singular. And you are incredibly valuable. The Hebrew word here translated valuable denotes significance, stature, and substance. You are prized, priceless, preferred, and precious. Let me try to explain. Value is based on ownership, right? So a car, say, that was owned by Elvis Presley is worth a lot more than my Toyota minivan, which the four Edwards children have dented, damaged, and pretty much destroyed. My car's worth is connected to the fame of its owner, or lack thereof, which means that it's not really worth a whole lot. So value is based on ownership? Well, the Lord says in Isaiah 43, 6 through 7, bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the end of the earth, all upon whom my name is called and whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and whom I made. God has created and claimed, fashioned and formed us. We are his sons and his daughters. Value is based on how much someone is willing to pay. God says in Isaiah 43:4, and I will give people in exchange for you, and nations in exchange for your life. When Israel passed through the Red Sea, the Lord paid for it with the life of the Egyptians. Now Israel is about to leave their captivity through the Persian king, through the Persian king Cyrus, and God will pay for it with the life of the Babylonians. Our God is willing to lay down people's lives for us. But why trust the Lord to place value on us? Just who is this God anyway? Well, Isaiah 40:26 says that he calls every star by name. Now, the Milky Way, which is 104,000 light years across and contains over 100 billion stars. To count them one by one would take a person over 3,000 years. According to the latest probings of the Hubble Space Telescope, there are hundreds and billions more galaxies in the universe. And this God calls each of them by name. This is the God who says in Isaiah 43:1, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. And in verse 4, you are valuable in my eyes. But there's more. His word is everlasting. His righteousness is everlasting. His love is everlasting. His covenant is everlasting. No wonder why Isaiah 40 verse 28 states, he is the everlasting God. This is the one who says, I only have eyes for you. Who? You. Still you, just you, always you, forever and ever you. Are what? Valuable, cherished, of infinite worth. Where? Not in the eyes of Babylon. There we are nameless numbers and state-owned statistics. Where are we valuable? Not in our eyes. When our eyes are wide open, we see our duplicity, dishonesty, idolatry, and our ongoing sin. So where are we valuable? God says, my eyes. To quote Luther, although in supreme trials you seem nothing in your own eyes and are condemned as one cast off by the world, in my eyes you are glorious. Therefore you may be vile in your own eyes, in the eyes of the world, and even in those of your brothers, as happened to us on the part of our enthusiast brothers. Fear not. In my eyes, I regard you is a precious jewel. But there's more. In the baptismal flood, God claimed you as his own. And on a hill called Calvary, he paid for you with his son, Jesus. This means that God has more than just eyes for you. He has hands and feet for you, nailed to a cross. He has a head for you, crowned with thorns. He has a side for you, thrust through by a spear. But there's more. God has a heart for you. Jesus says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. God has ears for you. Jesus said, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. And God has a body and blood for you. Jesus says, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Isaiah testifies to this one indisputable fact. Our God loves these lyrics. The moon may be high, but I can't see a thing in the sky. I only have eyes for you. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.